Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson and Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's February the 7th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. In agricultural news, just one real story for the day. That's the president's new budget for agriculture. It's fairly large, but again, cuts $3 billion from ag in 2007. $1 billion of those will come out of the commodity programs. And I'll have a complete look at that in just a moment. Also this half hour, we'll hear the commentary from the Farm Bureau and take a look at U.S. aid programs and how they might be changed for the better, at least in the opinion of one author. We'll discover the book and what he has to say. Just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast today. Stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the wheat pit like this. The March contract at 351¾, down 3¼ today. May futures off 2½ cents at 363¼. March wheat in Kansas City down 4½ cents at $4.13 from the corn pit in Chicago. 218, the settlement price for the March corn at 4¾ lower. May down 4½ today. 228½, the settlement price. July corn at 237, down 4¾, and the December contract, $2.54 a bushel. They were off 4 for the day. Soy complex now. March soybeans, 574, down 13 cents. The May at 588, down 12½. And July down 11¼ at 598½ today. November beans at $6.11, down 10¾ today. Bean meal futures and the March contract, 176.70, down 4.30. March bean oil at 22.28, down 29. From the Mercantile Exchange, March feeder cattle at 107.97½. They were off 7½ cents today. February live cattle at 91.97½, down 17½. And the Feb lean hogs at 56.62½, were a dollar higher today. In just a moment, we'll talk with John Hester of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. I'm told that Wayne Nelson is away this afternoon, but I want a number, to give you a number, that is, to dial right now while we're in the midst of the Closing Market Report. That number, of course, is to pledge your financial support to the radio station that brings you ag programming not 5 but 6 days a week. The number to call, 217-244-9455. We're hoping in this half hour to raise at least $500. I believe Jay Pierce, station manager, on hand with us in Pledge Central to talk about the reason we want to raise $500 and what it might pay for. Hi, Jay.
Hi. How you doing, Ted?
Oh, I'm good. Hey, you know what the number to call is, right?
It's 217-244-9455, and I don't need speed dial. I have that etched in my brain.
Yeah, we won't take too long here. We'll get to John Hester in a moment, and we'll come back and update you on what's happening in Pledge Central. But $500 is the goal for at least the 15, 20 minutes here we're going to be on?
That'll put us over $14,000. The reason I picked $500 today, because it costs about $100 an hour to provide programming on the radio station. Now, the Closing Market Report is a half hour, so $500 today would pay for 10 Closing Market Reports. 2 weeks. 2 weeks where the Closing Market Report for just $5 contributions at 244-9455. And we'd go over $14,000 in our membership drive this week so far. Wouldn't that be great to attribute to the ag listeners?
Oh, that would be just magnificent. Hey, we'll check back with you in just a second, Jay, after we get done talking with John Hester about the marketplace. Is that all right with you?
Sure.
All right. We'll catch up with you again shortly. The number is 217-244-9455. We're going to drop in and out of this with that number fairly often this afternoon, but we'll try to make those drop-ins very short. There's a lot to do in this Closing Market Report. When you have the opportunity, just pick up your phone. It's 217-BIG-WILL and dial that number. John Hester should be on the line with us now to take a look at what happened in this marketplace. Good afternoon to you, John. Thanks for filling in today. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Tell me about what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade. It looks like things fell apart around 12:30.
Yes, a lot of red ink in the last half hour. Corn closed, nearby corn closed down 4.5. Deese corn closed down 4. Nearby beans closed down 13. November beans closed down 10.5. Wheat was down 2 to 3. A lot of commercial long liquidation today. Light fund long liquidation. Everybody was expecting Goldman Sachs. Have got a they're going to roll their fund from front month to an out month. I think a lot of the locals and a lot of the other funds were trying to pre-guess when they were going to do it to try to pick up a little money by pre-rolling or anticipating what Goldman Sachs was going to do, and Goldman Sachs did not roll that much today. And so they basically got caught with their hands in the cookie jar, and then when they saw Goldman Sachs wasn't going to roll or weren't rolling, they started liquidating their positions, and that was the the last sell-off towards the end of the day. Also contributing is South American weather. They've got ample moisture down there that should carry them through at least this week and possibly next week. We got the crop report coming out this week, and we're expecting exports to be down. Our supplies to grow in the report also. So, you know, in the last couple of days, we've taken 20 cents out of the beans and 6-7 cents out of the corn market in anticipation of the crop report, the weather, and Goldman Sachs and the funds and the commercial action.
I take it you're not convinced that this is, or maybe you are, that this is a showstopper for the wheat that's been leading this marketplace higher, especially on the idea that maybe they just were, as you said, got their hands in the cookie jar and got caught without the Goldman Sachs roll actually happening, that this market remains a little friendly to the corn and wheat at least?
I would agree with that statement. I think, they're anticipating, what's going to happen in this crop report. And, the beans were the leader today on the way down, and the corn and the wheat followed. The wheat has still got some problems in the southwest, and, this warm weather in Indiana we've had. I've heard a couple friends of mine in southern Indiana have said that their wheat they thought was coming out of dormancy, and if it gets real cold this weekend, it could work on it. So I think there's still some possibility of some upside. We've had a nice run up, and this was a good excuse for the big boys to take some profits today.
Hey, I know, John, that Wayne sells crop insurance in the office, and I don't know whether you do as well as that. Is that the case? And if you do, what have guys been asking you about crop insurance? Is they have to make those decisions by the March the 15th, and I know most of the decisions will become in the month of March because USDA doesn't finalize the numbers. But what are you looking at there?
To be quite honest, I do not deal in the insurance, and I don't want to speak for Wayne on,
okay,
on that.
I should have let you answer that the first question, which was, do you deal with it first before I went on with the question? Sorry
about
that.
I have my opinions, but I'm not going to. That's another story in itself.
Oh, well, that's okay. So let's talk a little bit about the Mercantile Exchange
okay,
as well.
Let's see. The cattle were down just a little bit today. I talked to a friend of mine on the floor up there. He said there was some bear spreading in the market today, light spreading. He said it was a very, very quiet day in the cattle pit, and in the long term they're looking for the cattle to have a softer market maybe over the next 15 to 30 trading sessions, or at least next 10 to 15 trading sessions. I said it was very quiet, and it looks like the big boys think it may have topped out for now.
John, we appreciate you being with us today.
All right, thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. John Hester, of course, with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He's filling in this afternoon for Wayne Nelson, our regular analyst, who is away for the day.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Okay, I see that the phones have already started to ring. That's usually a good sign, I suspect.
Yeah, usually it is, but
yeah,
not
that's,
now.
Well,
Well, see, that's what line one over there.
That's for our FM station.
Oh, that's for the FM station. Not, we can't let that happen. No. Okay, time,
they're
Jay, to make them.
On this.
Yeah, time to make them light up. So,
all right.
You know what? We need $500 this afternoon, and that's what we're asking for. So we need five pledges, and I think if you're ready, and at $40 or $50 or $75, pick up the phone right now and dial in with your pledge of financial support to the radio station, 217-244-9455. That brings you ag programming 6 days a week. If the closing market report is important to you, if you listen to Commodity Week, if you pick it up off the web, if you go out and see Dave Dickey at his ag panel outlook panels from time to time.
Where is he today? He was down near Casey somewhere?
Casey. He was at Casey today down there at noon. I think he had an awfully good meal, is my guess. But we just need the phones to ring.
Yeah, we do. You know, as soon as we hear from 50 people in support of ag this week, Rennie and Chuck Ehler are going to toss another $400 in because they think it is invaluable. This programming is invaluable to all engaged in farming and agribusiness. We've had people calling in this week. We've had 15 so far this week, Todd. We've had a couple saying, you know, WILL's ag service makes them money. That's the bottom line. If we can provide you information that can help you in your business and on your farm and in your ag business, call us now at 244-9455 and keep it coming. It can't be taken for granted. We've seen time after time where the Agriculture Broadcasting Service has been decreased at various radio stations. This is a time when it's more important than ever. We're increasing it. We have a long history at this radio station. But, you know, it's going to be here, okay? It's not a matter of are we going to take it off the air, but it's the quality of the service that is what your dollars right now are helping to ensure. 244-9455. 217-244-9455.
Hey, and we're doubling up on the money or catching up with a little extra cash from the Ehlers. Thank you to them very much for that extra $400. But we got to have 50 guys call in. So
we got a couple going right now, Todd. We got a couple on the line right now. Let's get all the lines going right now.
That would be good.
244-9455.
217-244-9455. We'll check in with you again in just a bit, Jay. Let's keep these lines going. The number again, 217-244-9455, to make your financial pledge to this radio station that brings you ag programming 6 days a week. Hey, if we haven't told you, you know, Dave and I appreciate it. We really do. Thanks much. We're really glad that you listen. One other thing, at the bottom of this hour, Don Day will join us today to take a look at the ag weather. Here's the forecast from Mike Sola. He says, tonight in northwestern Illinois, the skies will be mostly cloudy. Some snow showers, scattered flurries elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy. Lows will range from 14 in northern Illinois to 26 in the far south. If you've forgotten it already, the number to call, 217-244-9455. The lines are open. We're waiting for you to make your pledge of financial support to this radio station. Just one ag news story for the day, but it's a pretty big one. Listen up. This is the 07 ag proposal for the budget. The Bush administration's ag budget proposal for fiscal year 2007 calls for $93 billion in food and farm spending, nearly $3 billion less than the 2006 budget. Outlining the proposal Monday, U.S. Ag Secretary Mike Johann said one-third of those savings, over $1 billion, is expected to come from farm programs. Under the Bush administration ag budget proposal, all commodity program payments will be reduced by 5%, and Johann says the proposal shouldn't be a surprise. He says commodity program spending topped $20 billion in 2005 and the coming 2006 year, removing the argument that farm programs shouldn't be cut because they cost less than in earlier years of the current farm bill. Johann says Congress spared commodity programs in the budget reconciliation bill from deficit reduction until after the current farm bill expires. Like last year, the administration also proposing tighter farm program payment limits. But unlike last year, Johann says Congress may actually go along with the idea. He says there's a lot of congressional support for payment limitations. But House Ag Committee Chairman Bob Goodlatte says the request for payment limits probably won't gain much traction in Congress. He says the debate over farm program payment limitations should take place during the 2007 farm bill debate. And Senate Ag Committee Chairman Saxby Chambliss said in a statement Congress would likely ignore the president's payment limits request as was the case last year. The Bush administration request also includes a proposal that would force farmers to purchase crop insurance in order to qualify for commodity payments. And it proposes increased funding for avian influenza prevention efforts for the Food and Agricultural Defense Initiative and USDA energy initiatives. The budget proposal also assumes there will be no need for emergency disaster assistance funding in 2007, as there was in 2006. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Hey, you ought to be picking up that phone right now. 217-244-9455 is the number to call. That's 217-BIG-WILL. With your pledge of financial support to the radio station that brings you ag programming 6 days a week. Well, in today's listener opinion forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochka says Congress should adopt immigration legislation that allows farm laborers to enter the country legally under a guest worker program.
American agriculture needs a ready and willing workforce. Of all the major sectors of the U.S. economy, agriculture is the most dependent on migrant and seasonal labor, according to a recent study by the American Farm Bureau Federation. That is why an effective guest worker program is a critical part of any immigration reform effort. Immigration reform is expected to be one of the issues Congress focuses on in the weeks ahead. President Bush repeated his support of immigration reform in his State of the Union address, and congressional leaders have indicated interest as well. But immigration reform means different things to different people, and balancing the need to reduce smuggling and crime at the border with the needs of American agriculture exposes one of the major fault lines of this issue. The reality is that while American agriculture is heavily mechanized, to the extent it is practical and economical, the sector continues to depend heavily on a steady supply of willing workers. Today, this reality extends even beyond fruit and vegetable production and is complicated by the fact that many workers are unwilling to perform farm labor. Those points help explain why our economy is overdue for a restructured, comprehensive guest worker program. Much of the farm workforce is hired to pick fruits and vegetables, but many nursery and livestock operations also depend heavily on workers who come to this country to improve their lives and those of their family members. Farm Bureau research concludes up to one-third of the U.S. fruit and vegetable sector would disappear if new immigration reform laws fail to include a guest worker program. Between $5 billion and $9 billion in U.S. production would likely be lost, outsourced to a foreign producer, and net farm income for the rest of agriculture would decline by as much as an additional $5 billion annually. Farm Bureau will continue to work with members of Congress and the administration to pass a reasonable guest worker program, making sure American consumers have a safe and abundant supply of domestically grown fruits, vegetables, and other foods is essential and clearly our national interest. This is Amy Rochkis with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkis's comments are her own. They reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. Hey, there's a phone number you ought to call right now. It's 217-244-9455. That to pledge your financial support to the agricultural programming that you hear each and every business day right here on AM 580, not only 5 days a week, but you get Saturday programming with Commodity Week if it's important to you, if it makes a difference in the way you market. If you depend on the ag programming at WILL, now's the time to let us know that. Pick up your phone, dial 217-244-9455, pledge your financial support, $40 to become a member, $75. Dave Dickey and I like the $100 range, $120, $300, $500. All that it's important is that you do it, and you do it right now. 217-244-9455 is the number to call. Make sure you tell the volunteer you're calling in support of agriculture. Well, up next, there's a new book out on the global food aid programs. It explores the nature of the aid and makes some suggestions on how it might be changed. It's titled Food Aid After 50 Years, Recasting Its Role. The United States supplies 60% of the food aid offered around the globe, says Chris Barrett of Cornell University. He co-authored Food Aid After 50 Years, Recasting Its Role. Barrett is an international professor of economics and management. He says the food aid programs have not changed with the farm programs in the United States, and that's a problem.
The fundamental change that happened in the system is we went from an old arrangement where the government provided price supports for farmers and collected large surpluses, primarily of grain, but also non-fat dry milk powder and such, as a result of being the buyer of last resort, and then would ship those surpluses overseas outside of the commercial market as food aid. But as those price support programs unwound, the government maintained food aid programs that were still run essentially in the same way as they had been when it was based off of government surpluses.
Today, rather than U.S. government stockpiles supporting food aid programs, bids are requested from the commercial sector. Barrett says large agribusinesses offer to supply the needed commodities, and shipping lines bid to carry those goods overseas.
And the result of that is supposed to be humanitarian assistance. But the problem is when you no longer hold the grain in a stockpile someplace and ship it away immediately when you get a need, but instead you go through an elaborate procurement process, that the delays become quite great. And as a result, we're seeing that the average time from the request for food aid to port delivery is 5 months now for emergency shipments. And that's just too long to wait.
And too much money spent on the shipping and administrative cost of the U.S. food aid programs. Barrett says 40 to 60% of the cost to pay for a food aid response does not buy food. He and co-author Daniel Maxwell think the whole process can be improved. Barrett starts by trying to dispel a myth that food aid programs help U.S. farmers.
You think about this in basic terms. The value of the commodities purchased by U.S. food aid programs is about $500 million in an almost $1 trillion food economy in the United States. I mean, that's a drop in the ocean.
The purchasing power of the food aid program simply does not have a real impact on the price of commodities, says Barrett. But that doesn't mean there aren't benefits to be had from the program.
So we have this myth that the U.S. farmer is benefiting directly from food aid programs. That myth is exploited by the small group of organizations that really do profit from food aid programs, especially the shippers. Again, almost half of the food aid budget goes to freight costs. And a small degree, some of the larger agribusiness concerns that sell into the system. And they, too, make money in part because of the shipping restrictions.
The professor of international economics says there's an obscure law on the books called the Cargo Preference Act that came in alongside the original food aid legislation back in 1954. It requires 75% of the U.S. food aid shipments be carried by U.S. flagged vessels. There are just 13 freight lines registered by the U.S. government that can do this. And Barrett claims they make, on average, 60 to 80% more than the open market cost of the same service provided by a non-U.S. flagged carrier.
And so that process not only generates big profits for the small number of shipping lines involved, but because we have this restriction, the government has to match commodity offers with freight offers, and you often can't get freight offers in the place the commodity is available for the lowest cost. So you often have to overpay for the commodity as well. And some of the larger agribusiness concerns are taking advantage of this process. They're very clever, and they make on average about 8%, 10% more than the open market price for the same commodity at the same place and time, largely because of the distortions in this bidding system.
Barrett says one way to reform the system was proposed in 2005 by the Bush administration, though the Congress did not approve it. It would have allowed 25% of the U.S. food aid to be procured outside of the United States, most likely much nearer the geographic place in need. He argues U.S. farmers are reaping little benefit in today's food aid system, and that moving commodities more quickly into areas of need is a far better use of money, time, and energy. The second reform he advocates would roll back the Cargo Preference Act. The book is titled Food Aid After 50 Years, Recasting Its Role. It is published by Routledge. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
And I'm Jay Pierce in Pledge Central, where we have one call in so far, all the way from Olney in support of ag programming this afternoon. Somebody else called in who just got out of the Ag Outlook meeting with Dave Dickey and said, I want to be counted. I gave Dave my check. Great. But one call, 244-9455. They have to work to hear us in Olney. They know how valuable this service is. They're working hard to get it. You join them. If you can hear us clearly, don't take it for granted. Call 244-9455. Even a $40 contribution to make yourself a basic member of the Friends of WILL. $100 if you can do it on your Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express. Support programming that you use with your contribution now at 244-9455. With our thanks.
Thanks much, Jay. Jay Pierce, of course, there in Pledge Central, telling us about that one call from Olney. Thank you to the folks down at Olney who really have to work hard to pick up the station. We do appreciate it, listening to us all around the state of Illinois. If you haven't called in just yet, call us 217-244-9455. It doesn't take too long, about a minute and a half. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express. You can just pledge your support to the station that brings you ag programming 6 days a week at 217-244-9455. In just a couple minutes, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather about the Ag Weather Outlook. Right now, your local newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The Champaign County Assessor says he's ready to cooperate with an investigation into a charge of gender-based harassment in his office. But Kurt Diedrich says he hasn't had the chance to talk about the charge with county officials. The County Board's Performance Appraisal Subcommittee has received allegations from a female employee that she was treated differently due to her sex. Last week, the subcommittee put Diedrich on paid leave pending an investigation, but County State's Attorney Julia Reitz ruled the committee didn't have that authority, and Diedrich is back on the job this week. Diedrich's attorney says there's no substance to the allegations against him. A former state worker testifying at George Ryan's corruption trial today says he was on hand for the 1992 meeting in which the former governor and then Cook County State's Attorney Jack O'Malley were briefed on charges against two Secretary of State's employees for selling bogus driver's licenses. Tim Tuohy backed up testimony given earlier by O'Malley that Ryan did not react negatively when told about a plan to help crack down on license selling. That contradicts testimony from State Appeals Judge Patrick Quinn. Governor Mitch Daniels and Indianapolis Mayor Bart Peterson are proposing some new ways to fund local governments in Indiana in an effort to reduce their reliance on property taxes. Some of the proposals are being heard today by the Indiana Senate Tax Committee. Three public interest groups are calling for an investigation of Illinois Supreme Court Justice Lloyd Carmier. They contend Carmier should have recused himself from cases involving State Farm and Philip Morris because he accepted donations from groups affiliated with those companies. Knox College in Galesburg will receive what officials call their largest gift ever, more than $10 million from the estate of a 1925 graduate. School officials say attorney Walter Blair Hobbs died in 1989, and his estate was held in trust for his second wife, Ruth. She died last month, and the school will receive the gift in the final distribution of the trust. Knox College officials say the money likely will be added to the college's $54 million endowment. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's a Tuesday afternoon. Did you know that about 47% of the money that it takes to run this station comes from listeners like you? It does. So without your financial support, your pledge of financial support today, it doesn't happen. Call that number, 217-244-9455. It's important to do. If you've never called before, especially if you're a farm listener and you're listening to the ag programming, pick up the phone right now. Let us know that it makes a difference. We'd like to hear from you from the very first time. 217-244-9455 is the number to call. On the line with us this afternoon to talk about the ag weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hi, Don.
Hello there.
Tell me about the weather. Where's the hot spot around the globe today?
Well, I tell you, a lot of the globe is cooling off, not nearly as warm in many areas. Let's start in South America, where the trend over the last couple of weeks has been for good chances of rain in portions of Brazil and only some sections of Argentina, and that trend continues. Many areas of Argentina still looking at spotty rain. Brazil looking at good chances of rain, along with temperatures that are still going to average a bit below normal in Brazil. Argentina, rather, is definitely drier and warmer.
And then in the Southwest, any relief on hand over the near term?
I think in a week to 10 days, the Southwest will have some better chances for moisture. Until then, still dry.
And other places we ought to catch up on before I let you go.
Okay, first of all, for North America and the Midwest and East, we do not see any heavy precipitation, but we certainly see it colder as it has gotten colder. That trend is going to continue into the next week to 10 days. Europe, still cold and likely going to stay that way a little bit longer.
Thanks much. We appreciate it, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joining us on this Tuesday afternoon.
The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley@admworld.com.
Hey, if you haven't picked that phone up yet, now's the time to do it. 217-244-9455. Pick up the phone and pledge your financial support to this station. You know, one out of 10, just about one out of every 10 listeners to the station pledges their support to this station. And we'd like to make that higher out of the Ag Crew. So if you've never pledged before, now is a really great time to do it. Rennie Ehler and her husband Chuck are going to add $400 to the kitty. All you have to do is call in right now. Those 50 callers to Ag will make that happen. We're about 15, 16 callers on the way to it. You can do it right now. 217-244 is the number to call here at the radio station. It's quick, it's simple, it's easy. American Express, Visa, MasterCard, you can write us a check. Just call in and pledge your financial support. The $100 level is a great place to start. $40, $75, $500, whatever you can afford. Right now, pick up the phone, 217-244-9455. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.